Amen. You can have a seat. Today we're bringing to a close this series that I've called Story Time, and we've been looking at some stories of Jesus. We call them parables, especially those found in the book of Luke, and we've allowed those stories to speak into us. And sometimes what we found is that Jesus' stories will challenge people who feel really comfortable in their relationship with Jesus, maybe even proud about that. And sometimes those stories comfort those who feel really bad about who they are. And how we hear those parables sometimes depends on where we are in life. We may hear it differently as individuals, and we might hear them differently depending on which part of our lives we read them. We identify with different characters and different meanings as we go through those. But it's been powerful to me to hear those stories, and I have really loved this series because it's been just taking a passage and jumping in and examining that, and that's what I love to do in preaching and teaching. So this has been a good series for me, and I hope it's been really good for you too. Now, as we think about that, a lot of this has to do with how we understand ourselves. I mean, that's part of what Jesus is talking about, and we'll get there in a few minutes. And that really does matter. And we may feel very different about sort of how we're doing life, depending on what area of life we're talking about. So it might be that on your job, you feel awesome about how you're doing, right? You know what you're doing. You were prepared for it. Maybe you've been doing it a while. You feel like you know what to do. You're successful in it, so you feel really good. And then there's this area at home where you're struggling with a relationship or with parenting or with money, and you feel like, man, I'm a total failure at this. I should know how to do this better, and I just don't. And so we can feel lots of different ways depending on what's going on in our lives. And that can even be true spiritually, right? I mean, it may be that at one time in our lives, we come to God and it's like, man, I have just messed it all up. I don't even know why, God, you would pay me any attention, because I can see stuff that I've done so terribly wrong that I'm sure have offended God and offended people that I love and messed up relationships and all kinds of stuff. Why would you take me back? And then maybe there are times, and it might depend on who you're around, right? I mean, it might be when you go to work and you're around some folks and they're like, man, their lives are screwed up, right? I mean, they've really messed it up by what they've done, and you're thinking, I'm glad I didn't walk down the paths that some of these people walk down. Or even among family, that you can see mistakes that they've been making their whole lives because you've been right in the middle of it. And it's like, I'm glad I'm where I am. So it depends on who we're around. And today, I want us to look at a story that I think speaks to us whether we feel really good about where we are with God, or maybe whether we feel really bad about where we are with God. Jesus tells this one story that speaks to both of those, I think, in a powerful way, and serves as a good way for us to bring this series to a close. You know, sometimes when we feel good about where we are, we might look around and say, well, I'm glad I haven't done some of the bad stuff that other people have done, like I haven't killed anybody, haven't committed adultery, haven't stolen from anyone. And yet, you know, that's sort of what we see in this story. And we have to think through all that. So this story is found in Luke chapter 18. Little context is that from the middle of Luke 9 to chapter 19, so for, you know, big chunk of the middle of Luke, what we find is that Jesus is on his way from the north in Galilee, where he grew up, to the south in Judea, and he's going to go to Jerusalem. In the middle of chapter 19, he enters Jerusalem on what we call Palm Sunday. So he's celebrated as he enters the city. By Friday, he's on a cross. Then he's in a tomb, and Sunday he's raised from the dead. We're just a chapter away from all of that starting. So we're right at the end of Jesus' ministry in this journey from Judea, from Galilee to Judea. And then Luke gives us a little context for this parable. This is what he says. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Now, Jesus encountered this kind of person all the way through his ministry. Sometimes they're Pharisees, sometimes they're experts in the law or teachers of the law. What we have are people who spent their whole lives studying the first five books of the Old Testament, where all the law is contained, 613 commands, and they felt pretty good about where they stood with God because they were trying to obey all of that. But they didn't like Jesus. In fact, at this point in Jesus' ministry, they have written him off. They don't want anything to do with Jesus. In fact, they're saying, you know what? We spend our lives trying to do what's acceptable to God, and the people that he hangs with are the people that don't seem to care whether they're following God or not. And they really had a problem with that. They really had a problem with Jesus' message of, you know what? You can be forgiven of your sins. And that there is a kingdom coming, and it's going to introduce a whole new way of relating to God. They didn't want any part of any of this with Jesus. And so they're looking for ways to catch him. And as we come to chapter 18, Jesus is sort of responding to the way that they have treated him. And this is what he says. This is the parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Now, in lots and lots of ways, these two men are on opposite ends of ancient Jewish culture. We have the Pharisee who, like all these people, has spent his life studying the law. He's considered righteous. He teaches the law so other people can follow the law. He would have been one of the most respected men in his community. Everyone would have looked up to him. The people liked the Pharisees because they were the ones who came and taught in the synagogues. They were the ones who were honored by the people. So this is a well-liked, well-respected man in the community, considered righteous. And then the tax collector, whom everybody despises. He's a guy who's cooperating with an occupying force. He's a guy who stands for empire. He's a man who's collecting taxes on behalf of the empire and charging a little more than is needed so he can skim some off the top to line his own pockets. He's so rejected that he didn't even try to be righteous because nobody wants him in the synagogue. Nobody wants him participating in their religious life because he's an outcast. And so we see the phrase tax collectors and sinners show up in the Gospel of Luke. They're all lumped into one category. He is considered unrighteous, despised. So the real contrast just in one sentence between these two men. And Jesus says that they both, interestingly, went to the temple in Jerusalem, up to the temple. Jerusalem's always up because it's a higher elevation. They went up to the temple in Jerusalem to pray. So what are their prayers like? That's what Jesus tells us next. Verse 11, the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. Now, it would be normal for a man in the ancient world, at the temple, or really anywhere else, to stand to pray. We often think of sitting, kneeling, bowing our heads, but they would stand, heads up, face toward heaven, maybe hands up as well, and they would often pray aloud. So this prayer that he's praying here, everyone around him can hear, even the tax collector. Okay? So what does he pray? Well, I'm thankful I'm righteous. Now, even that was relatively normal. And the idea was that none of us are righteous on our own. Well, we can sort of understand that approach because we know we mess stuff up. And so he's saying, listen, my righteousness is a gift from God. I'm thankful for it. But then he goes that next step, doesn't he? I'm thankful I'm not like other people. People who have broken the Ten Commandments. People who have broken God's law. Evildoers, adulterers, murderers. I'm glad I hadn't done any of that stuff. And I'm especially glad I'm not like that guy. Now, first service when I did that, somebody thought I was pointing to someone over here and they gasped aloud. Okay, there's nobody over there I'm aiming at when I say that. He's glad he's not like this tax collector. This guy that everyone hates. This guy that everyone has rejected. This guy that everyone considers unrighteous. He prays that out loud so that everybody can hear. And then he brags on his own righteousness, right? Fast when I'm supposed to, really more than I have to. I give a tenth of everything, and the Pharisees were known for tithing even the smallest little things that grew in their garden, the herbs, right? I give a tenth to God of my mint and dill and all that. That's his prayer. The tax collector. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Yeah, most people would have stood their face toward heaven, maybe hands up, and he can't even look that way. He's beating his breast, which is a sign of guilt, shame, grief, mourning. He's so upset about who he is, about his identity before God, his identity in this community. He's grieving over the person that he's become, and his prayer is very simple. The simplest of prayers, one that we can memorize and pray ourselves, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He knows exactly who he is before God. He stands before God as a sinner. And what he needs more than anything else is God's mercy. And that's where he's got to start. And then Jesus says this. I tell you that this man, the tax collector, rather than the other, the Pharisee, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted. And everyone who heard Jesus say that would have been surprised. How can you say that the one person in this story who is justified is the tax collector? Now, when we see the word justified in the New Testament, we have to remember that the word justified and the word righteous or righteousness, they all have the same root word. So at its core, what justified means is to be declared righteous. So Jesus says the one who went home who has been declared righteous is not the guy who spent his life studying and trying to obey the law, who doesn't break the Ten Commandments. The one who is righteous is not that guy. The guy who's righteous is the one who's messed it up over and over and over and over and just comes to God and says, have mercy on me, a sinner. And everyone would have said, that's the one? That's the one who's declared righteous? This story is not going the way that we expect it to go. But that's exactly what Jesus says. The tax collector. He's the one who goes home righteous because he understood where he was before God. So what is Jesus trying to tell us? And I think it's a lesson something like this. We come to God on equal footing. You know, wherever you are in your spiritual life, we come to God on equal footing. Maybe you come confident thinking, man, I'm glad I haven't messed it up like my sister has, my dad has. I'm thankful I'm not like my coworkers because, man, they are totally messed up. I'm glad I haven't done that stuff. I haven't done anything really bad. Or maybe you're coming to God going, man, my life is a wreck. We come to God on equal footing. And here's what I mean by that. I think there are some things that means. First of all, God's glad you're here. God is glad you're here today. You might say, well, I don't know why God would be glad I'm here today because he knows what I've done. You know, I've had a lot of people say, man, if I walk in the doors of a church, the ceiling's going to come in because I know what kind of person I am. Well, I can tell you, I have never seen the ceiling fall on anybody just because they're a sinner, okay? So I don't think that's going to happen. You know, no one is here today by accident. Nobody just, well, you know, they're walking up Webster Street and this seemed like the place to walk in the door. You're here for a reason. Maybe you're here to please somebody. Still, you're here for a reason. Maybe you're here because this is what you do every Sunday regardless. That's good. Maybe you're here today because, like, this was the last resort. You didn't know where else to turn. Maybe you're here today because you've been exploring faith and trying to figure out, okay, can I really trust this God that people say created me? Can I put my faith in Jesus, this guy who lived 2,000 years ago? You're evaluating that. But whatever the reason is, we come here on equal footing, and God is glad that every single person is in the room. Regardless of what's happened in the past. Regardless of the questions that you're asking today. Regardless of whether you think you're righteous or not, God is glad you're here. And the second thing we have to remember is that we're all sinners. Every single one of us. Paul makes it clear in Romans chapter 3, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Not some of us are really bad sinners, and some of us, questionable, but not terrible. He doesn't say any of that. Now, there are certainly sins in our lives. Some of them have more far-reaching consequences than others, right? Some bring more damage to people that we love and to ourselves than other sins. They just have more difficult consequences in this life, but they are still sins, and every one of those sins separates us from God. Period. And we're all sinners. So when we come in this room today, we know that left up to ourselves, we are unrighteous. And the only reason that we can be justified or made righteous is because of what Jesus has done. It is only because Jesus was willing to walk the earth and to go to Jerusalem and to die on a cross and to be raised from the dead. That's for every one of us. And that leads us to the third thing. We can all be better. The good news of the gospel, the hope of Jesus Christ is, yes, we are sinners. We come unjustified, but we can be justified in Him, and things can change. We don't have to live as we've always lived. Neither the Pharisee in his pride, his arrogance really, or the tax collector in his sin, neither one of them had to live the same life from that point forward. They both could change because of the power of Jesus at work in their lives. And that really is what this is all about. That God can change the life that we live here, and God can change eternity as well. And so we're here to celebrate the good news of Jesus. We're here to celebrate that we can be made righteous. We can be justified through the power of Jesus on the cross. You know, as I reflect back on this series, Jesus speaks so much about relationships. He speaks about where we stand with God. He speaks about where we stand with each other, how we understand ourselves. And I just think these are all so powerful and told in such powerful ways that help us remember them. But I think it's good that we bring an end to this series right here, where we're being reminded of just what the whole story is about. That regardless of how we come to this place or come to the foot of the cross, as sinners, broken, it can be better. And it can be better because of what Christ has done. And we all come, regardless of what's happened, on equal footing. Let's pray together. God, we come before you confessing that we're all sinners. We've all messed it up. We know our sin better than anybody else does. We know what we've done. And so, God, we come before you not bragging over the good stuff that we've done here and there in life, but just coming before you saying, God, help me. Show mercy, a sinner. And we're confident that you'll do just that. We're confident of the power of the cross, the power of grace, the power of forgiveness. So God, we ask that you would change us and make us better, make us more complete, make us into the people you want us to be. Make us righteous. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and continue to worship.